This is probably why. How about now? Yes, no, maybe so. There it is. You know what? I did not have the jack plugged in all the way. I just looked right over. I glanced right over. I'm like, oh, that's probably the problem. I did not have it plugged in all the way. My apologies there, brother. My apologies. But I hope everyone's having a blessed Sabbath day. Hey, I'm getting up there too. I'm getting up there. So, some things not clicking right like they should. They're not, but praise God in all things and in everything. That man, the times that we are living in are something else. They are. And it's like every day you just look around, either be on the news or you're doing your research, and every day is just something. And I'm kind of glad Brother Nick actually brought that up with the old using that thing, and I'm down. If anybody's looking that's going to go into that, then drag me right along with you, because I will go right there. I've been doing a whole lot of work heavily on Sundays, but going out, driving. It's a lot of, I talked about it many times. I spend a lot of my Sundays doing a lot of ride sharing. I try to at least chime in on the men's study, but I think this Sunday I'm trying to take a day off. I'm just be back in the house to kind of get some things caught up here. But if y'all are going to go on there, then hey, let me know. I will go on there. Probably hit a strong Sunday and do some things, try to get the word out, do some preaching, do some sharing, just take advantage of all these different avenues while we have them, whether it be social media, whether it be YouTube, and I don't even know, because YouTube is clamping down hard on a lot of things. There's been some channels that I follow to get, like, current events, sort of, or just get basic information, and I see not only is YouTube shutting down channels, but they're also restricting the Google access. So say in order to get a YouTube channel, you have to have Google access. So once that access is restricted, that restricts the user's access to their own personal email, to their email and all other services that that you use concerning Google. All that's getting shut down. So that's just a lot of the people who kind of consider themselves truthers, and I go in, feel them out to see where they're coming from, send some comments if may, and kind of see what's going on. But if they're saying something and YouTube is shutting down the whole channel, then obviously there is something that they're saying that YouTube doesn't like. So it won't be long. It will not be long. And we know this. We've already known this, that they're going to come after those who preach present truth. They're going to definitely, when it comes time for the enforcement of the mark, they're definitely going to go after that strong, real, real strong. So take advantage, brothers and sisters. Take advantage, as many of you already are. Take advantage of the opportunities that we have set before us to share, to teach, to preach. Because there are many, many, many souls out there that have absolutely no idea what's going on. No idea, not even a clue in the world what is going on right now. The times that we're living in, the last days, the final movements that are speeding up there. Very, 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 very rapid. A lot of people, they're just looking forward to the holidays. Already talking about shopping and especially next month. Oh my goodness, it's so bad. I associate with coworkers or those that I do ride share with. It's just everyone is looking forward to next month. They're just talking about it, what you're gonna do, all the plans, all the shopping, I do get a few that kind of come in and talk about their Thanksgiving plans, which is also an opportunity. A lot of brethren here, I know myself, will be going home.
I'm from East Holmes, Mississippi. And I know this year will be different. This year will be much different than it has been in the past. From the large gathering that, you know, I'm so accustomed to having with the food and whatnot, and a lot of people, because of COVID, they're fearful. They're fearful, they're afraid. Even though the last time that I did go home in July, I was expecting a lot of my family members to kind of be kind of resistance or resilience, so to speak, as far as wearing the mask and staying apart. But family is still family, and I was surprised there wasn't any issues in that regard. But now that we see all of a sudden cases are suddenly going up, things are on the rise with COVID, I would expect something different. Plus, I get a lot of family that comes from out of town, as many here. When you go to your different assemblies for Thanksgiving, you would have a lot of family come from out of town. So they might have a different approach. And they might have a different approach. You may get family that's coming from New York, and you know how they look at COVID in a totally different regard versus someone from the South. Same with California. A lot of these states that have heavier travel restrictions, heavier lockdowns that are going on right now. Praise God, if you're living in an area where there's no type of mandate, no type of curfew, because a lot of these states, they're clamping down hard. They're clamping down very, very hard for something that is no kind of a threat, none whatsoever. None whatsoever at all. It's no kind of a threat. But they have to keep the fear out there before the people to where they can continue in this agenda, to continue in this plandemic, so to speak. And they even put it out there. I mean, CNN is keeping the fear going. I went and I looked because I was kind of concerned when it came to the whole travel. And they have this list. It's about all the states. I think it's all 50 states that have travel restrictions imposed on them on what you will do when you go, when you cross the border, which baffles me. It really, really does. Okay, so you're in Georgia. I'm just throwing a state out there. So you're in Georgia, in a state that has no restriction at all. Then you go and cross the border to Alabama, to a state that does. So does the virus just stop at the border? I mean, so some of this stuff, if people just look at it, it makes absolutely no sense. It makes no sense. Even with the curfews that are imposed, what just comes out at nighttime between 10 to 6 p.m., 6 a.m., but throughout the day, it's non-existent. I mean, if people just look at this stuff for what it is, but they don't. And you can't blame them. You know, when you see all these signs, you see all these billboards, you see these placards, the constant reminders, either on the news and social media, it's everywhere you go. It just keeps going on and on and on and on and on. And even when you're not trying to pay attention to it, when you hear so much of it, it begins to work in the subconscious. It begins to work. It begins to, if you don't know how that works, just music, for example. Music. You go into a grocery store and a song that you haven't heard in 20 years. It happens to me often. A song you ain't heard in 20 years, all of a sudden you catch yourself. You're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Because those words stick. You haven't heard them in a long time, but those words stick. And they're doing the same approach, even with COVID. In some of these grocery stores, they'll have these reminders to stay 6 feet apart, to wash your hands, not to touch your face. And they have music accompanying with them. It was music. So those jingles, those tunes begin to be pretty much stuck in the head. Oh, yeah. I just moved from South Carolina, even though I still work there in South Carolina, Brother Arthur. But there's nothing. There's no kind of restrictions of people walking around. You get a lot of the elderly are the main ones who are – who had the mask on and they're doing those things. But as far as like the whole 6 feet apart, all those people, they don't care. They don't. And the Walmarts, what they do is when you go to the Walmart, this is what I've noticed, they'll offer you a mask. They'll offer you it, but you can go into the store without, but I guess they do their duty as far as just making sure that they offer it every single person that goes into the store a mask if they're not already wearing one. But you don't have to. You don't have to. When I keep it, I'll keep one in my back pocket just in case, not to cause like a disturbance or any type of interference, because if I just need to go in there and grab something right quick and need to come right on out, I'll keep it. So if someone approaches and like, hey, I need you to put this on, you know, it allows the opportunity to talk about it, but at the same time, I don't want to, you know, cause any type of interference. You know, I had that happen just about a week ago. I needed to go to auto parts store because one of my headlights had blown, and I went in there. I didn't have it on, and sure enough, it was pretty young fella. I imagine he was just coming out of high school, so a lot of that, you know, COVID stuff is drilled in his head already. And he approached me about putting it on, and I wasn't. Didn't give him any kind of flack or anything like that. Just doing his job. He's doing his job. So I went in there alone. So we had to go in and just get the headlight and come to the counter. But being at the counter gave me an opportunity to talk. Gave an opportunity to talk about it. And I use it because people know when I my method is more so like some type of a joke, you know, and I kind of compare the mask with the wearing of a sock and it gives them an opportunity to think about it. You know, like, you know, you putting on this thing, you might as well put on that sock that you wear on your foot. It's the same equivalent. If you think it's going to help, then go right on ahead. It's like kind of keeping a mosquito out of a chain link fence. You know, it's not going to help at all. It's just, you know, you're conforming to what the rest of the world is doing. But this is your job, so I understand. You have to wear this because your job is requiring it. But the position of power that they are giving just regular cashiers to tell people just to put on these masks. So, and the reason why I'm going there, because, again, I know a lot of holiday gatherings are coming up, especially with Thanksgiving. So do your diligence. I will provide the link in the Telegram, because a lot of these states do have restrictions imposed. So be prepared. I mean, a lot of them are. Let me see if I can find one. For example, you know, here where I'm at in Georgia, there's none. Let me see. Oh, California should be easy because they always got something going on there. I mean, this is California as of November 13th. So people coming to California have to self-quarantine for 14 days. So with people going to that area the day before, they're not going to be able to gather with their family because, you know, right here, it's 14-day, you know, quarantine is being imposed upon them. And now with contact tracing I haven't even updated this phone. This phone has been asking to update over and over and over and over and over. And I know if I update, it's going to have that contact tracing installed. I said, oh, no, I'm not even going to do that. But with the contact tracing, with neighbors, because they haven't seen these people, you know, coming in from out of state or just having a tag from out of state. And like, oh, that we haven't seen that person. Did they self-quarantine? They do it, you know. It's just so definitely do your diligence, you know, be aware of your surroundings, because there's a lot of evil out there. There's a lot of evil. If you do have plans concerning going to visit loved ones coming up Thursday, do your diligence. And I will post this here for the brethren can be aware of what kind of restrictions they have imposed. I also was talking to a bunch of college students, and a lot of them, I can tell you. Now, it amazes me because I'll see them, I'll talk to them, and a lot of them, they got a lot of sense. They really, really do. They kind of see this for what it is. They understand the falsity behind COVID. They'll still go out and kind of do their thing, and they just be like, man, look, I'm going home. I'm going home to see my family. I'm going home to see my mom, and I'm not, you know, thinking about any type of, you know, restrictions or anything of that sort. And because of this, these schools have tried to one-up them by requiring these kids to either stay in their dorms, during that Thanksgiving period, or receive some type of test, negative test. And we all know the issues that these tests are having, the falsities that these tests are having. I read one article just the other day about Elon Musk, who it took like four of them, and a few of them came back positive, a few of them came back negative. So just the inconsistencies with these. I haven't even thought about it to go and take a test. I had to go a couple of weeks ago to get some paperwork for my children. And the local health department had totally revamped their parking lot and everything, where they turned it into a testing site. And I looked and I said, oh, no, there's no way I'm about to go to that door. There's no way they're about to jab this thing up my nose just so I can get a piece of paper. I'll figure out what's going on online, and we can take it from there. But this is what's going on. You know, this is what's going on. So you got a lot of these, you know, students who are just saying, you know, I'm going to go home regardless. I'm going to go home and see my family regardless. But I do see ways that they're going to use that against the students, especially those that do leave without having a test. And because of this headline here that I'm going to share with you guys, this one is what's being carried out in the Liverpool. And we already know what the military is being used when it comes to the administration of the vaccine. I'm going to talk about that a little later. But this is what they're doing to children. Children have now the army to carry out mass COVID-19 tests on children. Children. Let me give a small little excerpt from this article. The army is being sent in to help carry out mass testing of children. Testing is due to begin in about a dozen secondary and special schools. If parents provide consent, pupils over the age of 11 will be tested twice over a 10-day period. So that's twice. If you've seen this, I mean, this is going into your child, and they're using the military to execute, not a doctor, not a pediatrician. They're using the army, getting the children comfortable having that military presence. Comfortable. Yeah, I think about that all the time, Brother Gilbert, all the time. And I wonder, sometimes I wonder, you know, and I think a lot of us do this when you think about decisions that you made over your lifetime. You know, whether or not you said no in this area or yes in this area. And I thought about it, like, if I would have stayed in the military, I would have had 20 years in last year. I would have been getting out right when this whole COVID thing started. So I was just thinking about it, you know, like, well, Lord, what if I would have re-up for just 2 more years or just 4 more years? And I would have been still been in when all this is going on. And I imagine my mindset towards vaccines was not like it is now. So I know I would have been all in with administering the vaccine and all that, having no issue taking any type of a shot, no issue at all. So, you know, you have those questions like, Lord, you knew ahead of time. I mean, you already knew the end from the beginning. So you knew that it wasn't going to be for me. It wasn't going to be for me to be able to stay in that and be involved in that, and now being participating in not only mass testing of adults, but here it is being passed down to children, passed down to kids. It's ridiculous. It's utterly ridiculous. And a lot of these students, they don't even want to participate in these tests because you look at some of these lines just to take these COVID tests. It is unreal. Even though the news is saying, oh, the hospitals are overrun. We don't even have enough beds. They're just going back to the same stuff they're saying back in March and April. But now we have independent citizens who are going out with cameras, who are going into some of these hospitals, and they're seeing that there is nothing going on. There's absolutely nothing going on. The hospital's just as empty, yet the mainstream is saying something totally different. I mean, they're treating it in the same way they're treating the election, the same exact way. If you look at the news, they give you one narrative. But if you go out and do your own independent research, you see something totally different, totally different. That's why it's imperative to do your own, imperative. Even see here, even with preaching, how it's imperative to be a Berean. Imperative versus if you see something that just does not line up with your spirit, like, hold on, that don't quite sound right. It's best to get up and open up the Bible and look at it for yourself and read it for yourself. Do your own research. Go into it. Yes. To say my husband was sick and got tested. Okay. Yeah. See, a lot of these things, but again, Sister Jeanette, you've got to go and see when it comes to the tests. You know, there's just so much inconsistency involved with it. So many inconsistencies. And then you find out that this thing was patented a long time ago, well before COVID was even a thought in America. So you know that all of this was kind of planned in advance. A lot of it. They already had the stage set. They just needed to get that mindset for Americans cultivated. And how easy it was that they could have Americans walking around here with masks on, standing 6 feet apart, even though no one's dying. The survival rate is super high. And the people who are actually dying from it are elderly people, and they're being tagged as, well, they're already having these pre-existing conditions, yet they're being tagged as having COVID just to drive up the numbers. To drive up these numbers. And these are things that can be manipulated, just like the voting. These are things that can be manipulated. When it's electronic, it can be manipulated to swing whichever way they decide to swing it, however they want to swing it. And you see this set before you daily. I mean, I get these constant reminders on my phone every single day. Cases are going up. Oh, the cases are spiking. We got all these super spreader events where people are going home for the holidays or going to the malls. And, oh, COVID is going to be on the rise. It's going to be on the rise. And I look around and on my day-to-day activities, and everything's the same. No one's dying. I don't get it. I don't. But you have to keep that fear going. You have to keep that fear going. So what I'm going to do here is I came across this news clip, and it was put out on 60 Minutes. And this is this general who's in charge of this whole vaccine rollout, Operation Warp Speed, as the president has called it. He's going to say some things in this interview that are kind of troubling. They really, really are. And the effort that they're putting forth in order to get every single American vaccinated, their time frames, everything. This is about a 10-minute clip, so it could get us to the top of the hour. But he's going to say some things, and I'm going to kind of interrupt when he does to kind of reiterate on the topic, especially some of the key words that he uses. They're very, 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 very disturbing. So let me see if I can pull this in, because you'll see that the enemy of souls is directly behind all of this. is based on the terminology that it's going to use. Let me see if I can pull this up. All right. Okay, let me crank the volume up pretty high. Let me see. We don't have no ads on this thing. I hope not.
David Martin on assignment for 60 minutes.
You guys hear that thing? It sounds pretty good.
While the rest of the country has been counting votes, an Army general named Gus Perna has been counting doses of vaccine.
Perfect.
He's in charge of Operation Warp Speed, the catchy title given to the crash program to inoculate 300 million Americans against the coronavirus by next spring. For those of you longing to reclaim a semblance of your previous life, it may not seem all that speedy, but it is compared to the 5 to 10 years it usually takes to field a new vaccine. Once approved, it will not be a silver bullet. Just as with the annual flu shot, some of us will still get sick.
So, what is the whole purpose of this? If people are still going to get sick, what is the whole point of it? And then the one that they're releasing, that they're already saying is what, like 95% effective? So what is the whole point? That's 5%. 5%, that is a high number, an extremely high number. So what is the point of this at all? Either it's 100% or 0%. Same thing with lies. It's 100% truth. You just can't have a 99% of the truth. There's 1% in there. There's a 1% that is error. At 1%, it can just, it's a little leaven. That's all it takes. And here we are talking about something that's 95% effective. Yet we're going to give this to all the American people. Continuing on.
But it should make enough people immune so that the virus runs out of places to go. That would give this country what it badly needs right now. A shot in the arm.
The story will continue in a moment.
Look at that. There's some kind of ad on here. Hold on, fellas. So why did he do this? Yeah, let me. A little 10-second and I'm going to skip through that thing. All right, one moment.
One moment.
All right, here we go. The ad is over.
So if this distribution of vaccines doesn't go according to plan, where does the buck stop? Me. Conversation's over. It's pretty easy. Me. I hold myself 100% personally accountable to that end. After a career as an Army supply officer, General Gus Perna was 2 months away from retirement when President Trump tapped him last May to lead Operation Warp Speed. 60 Minutes went into his operations center where the plan to get the vaccine out to 300 million Americans is being orchestrated by military specialists brought in from across the country. We literally built the team, this collaboration, as we were going. There was no doctrine. There was no strategy. There was no structure of people to this end.
Perna tracks progress in what he calls deep dives.
All right, let's go.
With leaders from the military and the Department of Health and Human Services. And he does not want to hear happy talk.
It's not about, you know, a facade of everything is good. We need to understand what is not right, and we need to get it right.
He works out of a nondescript Washington office with none of the trappings that usually go with 4 stars.
Doesn't that sound like the Pope? I had to try to make him seem like, you know, how he was humble. He wasn't in one of the, you know, the immaculate rooms in the Vatican. He's got this old lowly little office, and he's, you know, doing all it. It sounds, oh, my goodness, you can see Rome's hand directly in this stuff. You can see it, how they're trying to portray this general here, who was on the cusp of retirement. Just a few months away, he was done. And now here he is to come and save all of America with this vaccine. All right, continuing on.
You know, these are all the meetings that I'm doing today. I'm already up to number 8 with you.
Perna describes himself as a hard-working B student on a steep learning curve to master the jargon of the pharmaceutical industry.
So if I'm covered, one of your dirty little secrets here, you got a cheat sheet.
I do.
Over here.
I do.
This is all the drug jargon.
It is.
I started 5 notebooks of things. I listen every day to what's being said, and then I spend a good part of my evening Googling these words.
So he got to go online to figure out what's going on. He's a general. See, this lets you know that if this is supposed to be something that's a medical crisis, why is the military involved in this administration? Why is the military involved? It is not about a virus. It's not about the virus.
So that I can participate, preferably at an intellectual level, but at least in an understanding.
On his whiteboard is one possible scenario. The all-important approval by the Food and Drug Administration of a vaccine developed by Pfizer, followed by approval of another from Moderna.
What is D-Day? The day that we deliver the first round of vaccine.
D-Day. And it's amazing that he would use that particular terminology. I'm sure everyone here has heard or is aware of D-Day. Let me pull this up, just a quick reference. In the military, D-Day is a day on which a combat attack or operation is due to be initiated. The best known D-Day is during World War II on 6 June 1944, the day of the Normandy landings. D-Day. So this is an attack on America. You just don't say these things. You just don't say them. You just do not say them. This is when this attack is going to be executed on America, and he's going to confirm that later on in this interview. Just hold on. He's going to confirm that. All right, let me keep it going.
For Pfizer.
That's when it would start to get complicated, because if approved, the Pfizer vaccine will require patients to receive 2 separate shots 21 days apart.
We know it's a 2-dose vaccine, so we want to ensure that we can manage the delivery of the first dose and ensure the delivery of the second dose while we simultaneously integrate new rounds of doses being delivered to the American people.
Now, think about it. Is there any question that the military is going to be the ones that's doing this? Is there any question? Here he is. We got this general. He's talking like he's getting ready to go to war. That's what he's talking like. Even though I know you, me, and hundreds of others, I have not yet to meet anyone that knows anyone that has died of COVID-19. I haven't. And then you go to the CDC's website and they keep putting the information out there. Keep telling them how the numbers are low. They keep telling them how this virus has never been isolated. They're telling the people right in their face, but yet they know that people will not take the time to go to do the research. They will not take the time to do it. All they would do is just turn on their televisions, see what the next move is, and take that as canon law. This is what they do. This is what they do. All right. Continuing on.
On top of that, the Pfizer vaccine, which could be ready next month, has to be kept very cold until it is used. Basically minus 80 degrees Celsius, which is 94 degrees below 0 Fahrenheit. Very cold. Paul Ostrowski is a West Point graduate who retired from the Army this summer and became Perna's civilian deputy. We have to make sure that we send that particular vaccine to the right places that either have that capacity or the ability to do the dry ice that we'll need in order to keep it cold.
In the warm speed operation, that cold going in your veins
came from making tanks for the Army, showed us the go, no-go board for what parts of the country are ready to handle an ultra-cold.
I wish you guys could see this board right now. The board this lady is looking at is the exact same way that the 10 FEMA regions are set up in the United States. They already have this thing broken down, exactly how FEMA has this thing set up.
Vaccine.
Virgin Islands has already reported in that they don't have ultra-cold freezers. That's okay. And that they don't have an ability to dry ice. But what we do know is that we can very quickly move dry ice from Puerto Rico.
The more I hear you talk, the bigger this operation gets.
Absolutely, sir.
It's not just delivering vaccine.
We wish it was that easy.
This country did not do a good job of containing the virus. Why should we expect you to do a good job of distributing a vaccine? Because we've learned from the past, and we're hopefully going to do a heck of a lot better job this time. Are you ready to go if a vaccine is approved tomorrow?
Yes, we are.
What's the first order you're going to give?
It's a simple command of execute.
Execute. A simple command of execute. Now, that might not seem like a lot to anyone who's on the streets and listening, like, okay, so execute, okay, like any program that you would, you know, when it comes to programming a computer, but just execute. No. That terminology that he just used is huge. This stuff is not just scripted. It is scripted, but they just don't come like, you know, like me or anyone else. It'll kind of come off the cusp and just, you know, speak exactly what's on your mind. No, these things are carefully laid out. They're carefully laid out, the words, everything they use, carefully chosen. They know what they're saying. It's extremely disconcerting what just came out of his mouth. I mean, this is America. There are plenty of ways to find out if people have gotten their shots, plenty of ways to administer the shots in the medical field, plenty of ways. But here it is, we're using the military to execute, using the military to distribute. And then you got to remember in the back of your head that when it comes to COVID, none of this is authentic. None of this is authentic at all. They've told the American people in so many ways. So many ways between Agenda 201, Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, over and over and over, what this is all about. Lockstep. I mean, it's just everything's laid out. The plan was put in motion, and all of this set forth under the disguise of a health crisis. And here it is, the military is right behind it, ready to execute. And that word is going to make a whole lot more sense when you see what he says just a little bit later in this interview. Hold on. Let me pull this back up. As far as June 6th, I could not tell you. Because they're saying next spring, there, Brother Alex. Next spring. God is still in control. He's always been in control. So he could say 2 years from now. He could say 2 months from now. He knows who's ready. He knows. So we go off his plan and we trust in him. So they can have all their plans all day long, what they want to do. But when God says it's time, then it's time. All right, let me get back to this interview. Just looking at this guy and the things that they're saying. Very, very concerning.
So once you say execute, how fast does it get out there?
Within 24 hours.
Do you have doses of vaccine already stockpiled?
Yes, we do.
And did you see that? Now, first of all, two things here. You're going to get this out within 24 hours. So as soon as that the shoe drops to execute within 24 hours, they're going to have this out. So I see a lot of people are already putting that the military is going to be out there within a day to administer this vaccine. Now, I just don't see that happening. Now, there's no way they can be able to come and round up, you know, all of America within a day, but to be able to get it out, to distribute it within 24 hours, yes, that's very foreseeable. But he just sat right there and said that they already have the vaccine stockpile. Yet this same stockpile is waiting on, this same vaccine is waiting on FDA approval. So which one is it? The truth is they already have a stockpile.
And these whole vaccine trials and Pfizer and all of that is just some things to give the American people a false hope. And I'm going to tell you why they already have a stockpile. Based on this headline, DOD awards $138 million contract enabling pre-filled syringes for future COVID-19 vaccine. This was already in the books. Already in the books. And the DOD is behind this. The military is behind this. The military. And these things were set for manufacture in October of 2020. This is already on the books. Already on the books. So all of these trials that they're putting out there, no. This stuff is already set and ready to go. They have exactly what it is that they want to get to American people. It's just a matter of time that demand begins to increase. And they'll figure out a way to force that demand. To be food shortages. I mean, you see right now Walmart is already having the back to the whole toilet paper thing again. It's, oh man, they're starting that back up. Even though in my neck of the woods, I can just go out to the store and like, there's no toilet paper shortage. It's just the news. They're the ones perpetrating this stuff. They're the ones putting it out there. Oh, you can't find sanitizers. You can't find this stuff now. It's just being cleared off the shelves. I say everything looks fine to me. Everything looks fine. But they got to create the panic. They have to create the panic. All right, continuing on in this interview.
Did you have stockpile? I'm holding on to that number right now because I want to not create anxiety, and we need to work through the details. A month from now, I'll have more.
Operation Warp Speed is also stockpiling kits of the needles, syringes, and alcohol swabs needed to give the shot. The medical distribution company McKesson says it already has produced enough kits for 88 million shots.
The idea is the kit will marry up with the vaccine and they will go together as one package to provide that capability to an administration site.
Because this is a once-in-a-century pandemic, the vaccine is already being manufactured in bioreactors inside sterile facilities.
Oh, man, these guys got these suits on. Solutions in Baltimore. It's unreal.
Even though it has not yet been approved by the FDA.
Not been approved.
Vice President Sean Kirk says it can take up to 6 weeks to produce a single batch.
It then leaves here and moves to another facility where it gets filled into the final vial presentation you're used to seeing when you're getting a vaccination at the clinic.
Emergent is shipping most of that vaccine to what's known as a fill finish line, run by a company called Catalin and its chief commercial officer, Karen Flynn.
You're basically the bottling plant for vaccines.
That's correct. And it's a very sophisticated operation.
One of Catalin's lines can bottle up to 400 vials a minute, with each vial containing 5 to 10 doses.
The situation that we're facing right now is just what we call the need for speed.
How many shifts are you running right now?
We are running 24/7, 7 days a week, and, you know, really it's an all-out effort to keep the lines running.
Are you worried about the security of the stockpiles?
We have taken extraordinary precaution in this area, not only for maybe some nefarious effort, but also natural, hurricane, tornado, et cetera, right? It's such a commodity to us. We're taking the full steps to make sure that the vaccine is secure.
Armed guards?
Yes,
armed guards at sites where the vaccine is stockpiled.
Yeah.
So you see right there? You see that they are going to be there armed and ready to go when they have these sites, wherever they set them up at, wherever they have these places warehoused. There's going to be men, and they're going to have guns in their hands to provide that security. And this is like in the war, just like like Mother Church's post, this isn't a war on the American people, on the people. The way this is set, the way this whole operation is going and forth is just like you would for preparing and going to an actual war. An actual war with the people. And instead of, you know, guns, they're using needles. They're using needles. This is, it's unreal. But moving on, I haven't gotten into the the climax of this interview yet. We're getting to that. Hold on.
Once it starts moving, whether on a truck or a plane, is it going to be under guard?
Yes. That's as far as I'm going to talk about it, though. Right? Because you don't want to lay out all the plans. But the answer is yes.
Most of the vials will be shipped by the same companies that deliver packages to our homes every day. We're prepared to deliver to every zip code in this country. Richard Smith runs FedEx Express in the U.S., which is already operating at peak volume to handle the surge in online shopping caused by the pandemic. You've got another peak coming because of Christmas, and you've got another peak on top of that because that's when we expect the vaccine,
correct,
to start being distributed.
And yet I'm still sleeping at night.
But you've got to have concerns.
Well, I'd be crazy if I didn't say that this was a Herculean effort and didn't recognize how monumental it is and may yet be.
Will you be able to track all the moving parts?
Yes.
I feel 100% confident of that. Will you be able to bang your fist on the table and say what happened to that shipment that was going to Good Samaritan Hospital in Baltimore?
Yes.
And not only that, I'll know after it gets there how fast they're administering the doses that they were given.
Bruna's ability to do that depends on a software program called Tiberius.
Tiberius. Did you hear what the name of this software program is called? Now, what in a thousand years, out of all the names that they could have came up with, why would they call this software program Tiberius? Brothers and sisters, I am quite sure you are familiar with that name. Again, they could have called this thing Coca-Cola. They could have called it peanut butter. They could have called it a number of things. But this is the name of the program. If you're not familiar with Tiberius, as Brother Alvin just posted in the room, Luke chapter 3, verse 1, now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of, Luteria, on the region of Trachonitis, and Lysias, the tetrarch of Abilene. Yes. Out of all the names, it was the emperor, the Caesar, who was a person who presided at the trial of Jesus and gave the order for his crucifixion, or what gave the order to execute. The same terminology that general just used earlier in this interview. You see what they're saying? That is absolute insanity. That is insanity. Again, who was Tiberius? The most terrible part of his legacy is that he was the ruling emperor of Rome. Jesus of Nazareth was tried by the Romans and sentenced to death. Caesar. There it is, right there, in your face. There is no denying it. No denying it. This is it, and this is real. And they just don't say these things for nothing. They don't.
Which is supposed to link databases from across the government and the shipping companies into one unified picture that everyone can see.
You can turn on where your hospitals are, where your pharmacies, your nursing homes, and where all of your enrolled providers are inside that jurisdiction.
But when Deacon Maddox, a newly retired Army colonel, briefed Verna on how ready Tiberius is for D-Day,
this capability didn't exist 2 months ago.
For D-Day, having this ready for D-Day execution. Again, they just don't use this terminology for nothing. They don't. They know exactly what they're saying, and they're prepared. They are going through their runs. They're going to their practices. even with the civilians, even with the nurses, even with the healthcare workers. They're even going through their runs. Now, I've seen, I think it was Louisiana, they went through a run. Drive-through flu shots. Drive-through flu shots. Yeah, I got that article right here. This was just yesterday. In Shreveport, mass COVID vaccination getting a dry run in a Louisiana parking lot. People were driving up in their cars, holding their arms out, and you have healthcare workers with masks and shields just poking them as they go. And you can see the same approach being used in other states. Just drive right on up. People are comfortable not going through these drive-throughs. They're comfortable in everything they do, whether they're getting something to eat. A lot of these stores, you have to sit on the outside. You can't go inside. They have to bring your food to you or go through the drive-through. A lot of the drive-throughs are very, very busy. So now they're taking that shift to the healthcare. Healthcare. It's unreal. It is absolutely unreal just seeing all this news coming out just all over the globe, right here in America and in the UK and Australia. With this whole COVID vaccine and the progress towards it. And saying that, hey, just a couple of days, because December is next month, and this is when they promise to have this thing done. Promise to have it. They're saying these things are safe, they're okay, and you look at the trials being run. I mean, something like that's supposed to take years. Years, if they already got this thing in the books. They already have it. You know it, that it was not. There's no way it can be safe. There's no way this cannot be. This can be safe because they already had this thing in the books. That means this was already part of a plan. It's already part of a plan. It's still not for God's people. Still, do not want to have the body defiled because the enemy is after your mind, and you don't know what's in this thing. I mean, there's been a lot of speculation. A lot of doctors who've been coming forward, you know, as far as what it does to the RNA, what it does to your DNA, the even animal DNA that's being used. Even though a lot of these shots already have animal DNA in it, animal parts. Seen one that had like a bovine fetus or a monkey kidney. I mean, some of that stuff on the CDC website is just like, wow, what? Why is that inside of a vaccine? Or some of the experiments that some of these scientists have just done. What it took like some kind of human gene and spliced it with a monkey brain to make some type of Planet of the Apes type brain. I mean, it's just some of the things they're doing. You know, God is not going to continue with this. Like, I had enough. Like, y'all are now, you know, crossing things that should not be crossed, period. None whatsoever at all, and this is what they're doing. This is what they're doing. You know, so the preparations are there when it comes to this shot. And they're not going to disclose everything. They're not going to disclose everything that's in this shot. We know that there's biometrics involved. We know that there's going to be some type of, you know, method to be able to track and trace you, embedded or used when it concerns this vaccine, to be able to know where you are at all times. And for something to have that type of application, you know that the enemy is behind this because he has to have that traceability. He knows that the 144,000 are being sealed at this moment. He knows this. He knows. And he is looking to thin the herd, so to speak, to find. But God is protecting his faithful. God is protecting his faithful, brothers and sisters. God is protecting his faithful. And every single day, which had an aspiration to be in that number. Because you look around and you see the entire world. Their love is just going away. You get that vaccine. Like, man, what is wrong with people? But then you know what's behind them. And the spirit is leading them to do the things that they do. You know this. But again, that's probably like the most, the climax of the interview, the rest of it just kind of going off the cusp and just talking about some things. But I just want you guys to hear that. I want you guys to hear that because what he was saying as far as the execution, the name of the software program, again, There's 100,000 names they could use, but it had to be that. It had to be that. And then saying that they already have the vaccine stockpile, even though here it is, Pfizer saying it's not going to be ready for a couple of months or whatever. So which one is it? There's so much out there to confuse the people. So much out there. The only method, the only way we can get that truth is to ask God, and he will reveal it. Like, hey, this is what's really going on. That's what's really going on. Everything the mainstream is putting out there, 9 out of 10, it is not true. It is absolutely not true at all. Right. I'm going to post those links in the Telegram for you guys to look at and come up with your own conclusions. And I'm going to get ready to drop my mic, y'all, because it is the top of the hour, and I'm probably going to see how I can get registered for this show using that and get a few things prepared. Again, if some of you guys are going over, then let me know. I'll definitely try to jump in tomorrow, because I'm not going to do any kind of driving. I want to just kind of kick back. But I'm going to drop my mic, and I think Brother Sean is available. Are you there? Are you present, my brother? Are you around? Let me see. Is he there? I see his name. I see him.
Hello.
I see him there. Are you there? Oh, okay. He is there. All right. Well, I'm going to drop my mic. Oh, that was my son. I'm going to drop my mic, and the next voice you will hear will be that of Brother Shumpa. Happy blessings, everyone.